Fearless.
Chase.
Bold.
Following.
Courageous.
Search. I'm Aaron.
And I'm Marshall.
And this is
Undaunted
Pursuit. Okay, we're back. We just it's always something, Marshall, with technical difficulties. Not necessarily, hopefully not on today's podcast that any of the listeners are hearing, but just getting set up. When you have to set up your whole get up for a podcast, every time you do a podcast, there's always bound to be something that gets messed up in translation with all this. What do you say?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always, I mean, anytime you mess with technology, there's always going to be something that happens anyway. But yeah, when you're having to constantly move around and set up here and set up there and all that stuff, you're going to have some sort of issue. So behind the scenes, there's always something going on here at Undaunted Pursuit Podcast. But hey, we can make it sound good for y'all.
That's right. And that being said, we are glad you joined us this week. And, you know, it may feel kind of like we purposely skipped a week, but you know, with schedules and the way, you know, schedule conflicts and the way that works out, hey, it just gave us more time to prepare, right?
Absolutely.
So what I want to start off with is this right here. Then God said, do not come near. Oh, I'm gonna start that over. I didn't want to start there. I wanted to start here. All right, I want to start with this. Then Moses said to God, behold, when I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers, ancestors, has sent me to you. And they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, you shall say this to the Israelites, I am, has sent me to you. This is obviously God speaking with Moses. And Moses is, this is coming out of Exodus chapter 3. Moses is, who you're telling me all this stuff, but who do I say is telling me all this? What should I tell the Israelites? And this is the name that God provides. And that leads us to tonight's discussion, this week's topic of discussion in a part two. If you guys haven't listened to part one, it's not necessarily you have to listen to part one before you listen to part two. You can mix it up, but we do encourage you to listen to part one, where we're getting into the names of God. And tonight is an exciting episode where we are getting into God's pretty much ultimate name. And I'm going to explain how this all came about. Okay.
So before you go with anything else, I wanted to say, so what Aaron was reading there was Exodus 3:13-14. It's funny because I actually had that verse written down from the first episode. And I think I actually said the exact same first verse. We did our last episode on this, and you know, God called himself I Am, which is a name that describes his eternal power and unchangeable character.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get into that in quite a bit more detail. But first, I think that now is the time to be able to explain why the names of God? Why Marshall and Aaron, do you have to, do you feel the need to go through? Well, one, because I felt that God was kind of pressing it on our hearts to do this and to explain this. Like, you can go back to part one and listen to that whole part of it. But what it was I was driving, I listened to a lot of podcasts, as you know, Marshall. And I was driving down the road, mm-hmm. and I heard one of the sermons I was listening to. He read out of John chapter 18, 4-6. And if you read this, so this is the betrayal. This is Judas betraying Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. This little situation that happens, the soldiers, there's a whole bunch of soldiers come looking for Jesus in the garden here. And Jesus, knowing all that was about to happen to him, went to them and asked, whom do you want? So he steps out and he says, hey, who are you looking for? He already knows what's happening here. They answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus said, I am he. And Judas, who was betraying him, was also standing with them. Verse 6. Mm-hmm. This is what really got to me here. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Now, when I heard that, I was like, my goodness, his name is so powerful. Because we all know that Jesus is God in flesh, right? So when Jesus answered, "I am he, I am," right? And we'll get into this, why I'm putting so much emphasis on "I am." It was so powerful that it made all the soldiers fall to the ground. Just his words being spoken made them fall to the ground. So I was like, oh man, you know, that just, it gives you goosebumps just to hear that, especially, and just to read that in scripture. I was like, okay, we need to do the names of God, because if that, his name is so powerful that it causes you to fall down in reverence, then, you know, his other names will do the same. Sorry for anybody listening with the, I have my windows down, and I'm in the car studio, obviously, and there was a car coming through a parking lot here. I'm at the church.
Hey, you gotta love it. You gotta be multifaceted.
So I have another one, another Bible verse, if you want to read it, Marshall. Well, you probably, I'm already in John, so let's go to chapter 4, verse 25. I also thought would kind of play into this week's episode as well. Let me get there. And this would have been, oh man, I went too far. John chapter 4, let's see here, verse 25. And this is at the beginning of his, did I write that down right? So at the start of his ministry, the woman said to him, and this is, okay, this is the Samaritan woman at the well, okay? The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ, the Anointed. When that one comes, he will tell us everything we need to know." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he, the Messiah." He also kind of uses that phraseology in speaking to the woman at the well as well. So all that, I know that's a long kind of intro, kind of soft opening to get to what we're about to talk about, God's ultimate name, I am. And Marshall, just interject at any time you feel necessary, right? So the first name that I wanted to get into was, of course, Yahweh, right? Mm-hmm. Originally spelled, because the Israelites were, you know, they were, how do we write his name? And they omitted the vowels in the name with a four letter word for God, YHWH. Yahweh, which is how we pronounce it now. And also along the same lines of that, Jehovah.
Yeah. And the Yahweh name was often more used with God's people during that time as well. That specific name, like Yahweh,
right?
Jehovah, Lord.
Right. And so written out in English, it would be Lord, all capitalized, which is, you know, Yahweh. If you were to translate Yahweh, this is all kind of what we, in the studies, this is kind of all the stuff that I kind of ran across, all capital letters, Lord, because we're going to see later on in this, there is another definition, Lord, with just a capital L. But as we saw in these passages that we just read, I am is the name of God gives, is the name God gives, which speaks to his existence everywhere, all the time, and his work in everything. So all, you know, that everything relies on God to exist.
Absolutely, yeah. And I can kind of touch on the name Yahweh. So I've got this little deal. You know, Aaron and I mentioned this app we use called Got Questions app. If you don't have it, get it. It's a fantastic app. It has a lot of great information, and we both pull from this quite a bit for our podcast because it's a good, reliable source. So in this, I pulled up, you know, different names of God, and then it explains all these different types of names of God and kind of goes into a little bit of detail about each one. And for Yahweh, it says, "Lord, strictly speaking, the only proper name for God," translated in English Bibles, "Lord," all capitals, to distinguish it from Adonai, Lord. "The revelation of the name is given to Moses, I am who I am," in Exodus 3:14. This name specifies an immediacy, a presence. Yahweh is present, accessible, near to those who call on him for deliverance. Psalm 107:13 talks about that in forgiveness, and Psalm 25:11, and in guidance, Psalm 31:3.
So did you happen to notice, Marshall, that Yahweh and Jehovah, they are the same. It's the same. Mm-hmm. They both mean the same. But what I was reading was that Yahweh is technically more accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's something. So I was, I think Ashley sent it to me one time. It was some, so there was a guy on TikTok or Facebook Reels or whatever that did this whole thing. I never thought of it this way before, but if you pay close attention to your breathing and the subtlety of what your breath sounds like, God has woven his name even into the way you breathe, because he and only he is the one who provides that breath every day you wake up. So even when your words, so there's people that claim that they don't believe in God, that they don't think he exists. But even when you choose not to speak the name of God, you have no choice but to speak his name every time you breathe. I think that is very clever, very ingenious to mold your name. You're the creator of life. We have no choice but to speak his name. I love that. I love that thought.
Yeah. No, it is pretty cool when you think about it. If you stop and just listen, if you say the name Yahweh, and then you take a deep breath, breathing it out a few times, and just really focus on that and pay attention to it, you can really hear it. And it's really interesting. You know, it really is how God just, he fits himself in everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. So here's another thing. I ran this across my pastor, and he really didn't have anything to, he didn't really know a lot about it, but I am in modern Hebrew pronounces Ahanehu, which is in this case as close to I am in Hebrew as you can get. So defining his name, the first person as it's the present tense of the verb to be. So it was very hard. You know how many times I had to read and dig into this word, because it doesn't necessarily come up on a whole bunch of, like, if you were just a Google search names of God, this does not come up. I don't know exactly how I came in, how I found this in my research, but it's very interesting. So he was, so what this Ahanehu means here is he was, which means he existed, he is existing in the beginning, he's existing now and actively working in our lives, and he always will be. He will always be existing forever, long after this world we live in is gone. So he's eternal, right? So one definition I ran into of Ahanehu was, I had to look up the definition. If you just search it, it's an Ahanehu is an invocation to God with an added dimension that brings in the quality of empathy and oneness with others. It's a really well-rounded kind of explanation of God, and I think it's a name that is fitting for him, because he is empathetic to our very existence and the struggles that we face, all the while maintaining a oneness with us by living in us through the Holy Spirit and the finished work on the cross. So, and what do we have to do? All we have to do, of course, is put our faith and trust in Jesus.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, I got to thinking, and last night when I was going through this and writing down, just planning for this for the podcast, and I was doing some research and looking online, trying to figure out, you know, different stuff. And I came across a site, I don't remember what it was called, but it mentioned how it's important, and I think this is true too. I think it's important to understand the ancient culture in which each name is being used. And that means like the people, the place, and the time, because they all matter. Because when God reveals himself to people in the Bible, he does so in their language, their concepts, and culture. And cultural context of those specific people. And, you know, yeah. I never really thought about that, but if you think about it, it's like each name that God uses, like, you know, the woman at the well, I'm sure he was speaking in that language, and that culture and that place and that time, it was all happening.
Yeah.
It meant something different. You know, it meant something completely different, as just like it would me today, right here, right now. So I think that's something important to keep in mind as we're going through these different names of God. And if you're following along with us, if you're doing some research yourself, keep that in the back of your mind as you're reading all this stuff.
Well, and Marshall, you know, I don't know if you can kind of sympathize with me on this. It's like you digging into this, and here's what I kind of want to get to through to our listeners, that there is so much. There was just on Yahweh, the name, God's name, Yahweh. There is a wealth of information out there in scriptures, outside of scriptures. I almost have to apologize at the fact that this may feel a little jumbled tonight because of the fact that and that's kind of what I was struggling with this week, was how do we present God's many different names in a way that is informative, engaging, and not just completely one fact right after another, you know? You feel the struggle. How do you present this in a way that makes a whole lot of sense without having to stumble over? And that's why coming through just Yahweh himself is a little hard. But we're going to try and do our best here at all this. But there's just so much information, as we say all the time on these podcasts, anybody listening needs to go and do their own research as well. Look into this. You can find this anywhere that all you have to do is look. God's already pursuing. Here we go. You know, and this is what we're all about. God's pursuing you. So you need to be pursuing God.
Absolutely. It's also important to note, to keep in mind, guys, that, you know, and I thought about this last night when I was going through all this stuff and doing research. You know, there's a lot of different resources out there on the internet and books. Obviously, your main resource should be the Bible. But sometimes you got to do a little more in-depth research to help you understand the Bible. And, you know, there's you know, the concordance. There's a lot of things that you can go to. But, you know, if you're online and you're on the internet, be very careful where you're finding your information. And, you know, kind of fact check them and make sure that they're a reliable source, because you don't want to feed yourself false information and bad information. And then, you know, whatever you're reading and finding, go back and kind of compare it to the Bible and make sure that what you're reading and trying to comprehend is our facts. I think that's something Aaron and I try to do our best on this podcast, is to make sure that what we're saying is from the Bible. And if we find it somewhere else, we compare it to God's word and make sure it's right, because it's very easy to be deceived and misled on the internet. So just be careful.
Yeah. And we don't, you know, here's the thing. Here's another disclaimer before we go move any further, is that we don't approach this podcast in any way without, what's the word I'm looking for here? Consulting with the Holy Spirit, without praying diligently about the words that are coming out of our mouths. So we do take this very seriously. And sometimes it may not sound like it, but it is serious business, especially when you're presenting the gospel, because we don't want to we only want to say what God wants to say through us. So, and we only want you guys to we want to be the conduits that encourage anybody listening to this podcast to pursue Jesus. So that being said,
let's jump into that next thing.
As we move. Yeah. So the next thing, so here's an interesting note that the Hebrews don't necessarily use am in their sentences, because that present tense of the word is reserved only for God. This is according to them, which is why the four-letter name of God, Yahweh, YHWH, was given, meaning he was, he is, and he will be. Okay? Mm-hmm. So I think I found that explanation on, I believe it was oneforisrael.org. And there was a whole lot in that, because the way they speak, Marshall, is I hungry. They can't.
Yeah.
It was just too sacred. The am was just too sacred of a word. Yeah.
Well, think about the respect that shows to God too, that they think about that or, you know, thought about that in their language. Mm-hmm. Man, you know, it's like if we, you know, it's so easy to use God's name in vain and to be disrespectful.
Yeah.
But if we thought about that when we're speaking, because, you know, we people will use the word God when you're getting frustrated or angry or cussing. And, you know, that's using his name in vain. And it's a sin. Or, you know, we'll replace it with gosh. You know, there's a replacement for everything, right? And if you stop and think about that, it's like, what do you do? It's like when I was a kid, you know, I would say frickin' a lot. Well, you're just replacing, it's the exact same meaning. You're just using a little bit different word, you know? So it's, and my mom used to get on to us all the time when we were kids because we would say that. And she's like, stop it. You know, it's the same word. It's no different. And, you know, you think about it, she's really right. And so when you're using the, when you're saying God or gosh, well, really, you're saying the same thing. That's just how I see it, you know? So anyway, you know, using like what Aaron said, you know, being so respectful and honoring God and thinking about that before you speak.
Yeah. And I think it's not saying that you have to go around, you know, getting rid of the word am. That's part of our culture nowadays. That's what it is. God, you know, God understands, but I think it's, I thought that was very respectful of them to even just take it out of their language. And it's just like, wow, it just, we already know that the Hebrew language was so rich. We said that in the last episode, but it never ceases to amaze me.
Yep.
So moving on, like we said before, there are many different names of God, as you can see, and for good reason at that. But we're going to cover a few more and the more popular ones, and we want to encourage you, like we said, to dig deeper and do more research. If you're interested in knowing more on all the different names of God, because I did run into Marshall. I was really starting to get down a rabbit hole. There was a whole bunch of more names that I ran into even further on than what we were just covering from just the got questions stuff too. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But like I said, it's for good reason. You know, God deserves all of the recognition, you know, and if that's in through all these different names, then so be it. But so Adonai is our kind of the next one on our list. We already kind of mentioned it a little bit. It's going to be the capital L and the lowercase rest of the letters of Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And it was generally used in place of Yahweh because this is where I had kind of ran into that am was too sacred. So they would use Adonai because it was Yahweh was thought of to be too sacred to be used by sinful men. Mm-hmm. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm. Again, there's that reverence.
Right. And then what were you saying? What else did you kind of run across there? Were you saying that Yahweh was kind of used with his own people, right? His own people.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did use Yahweh, right?
Sure. And, you know, I don't know this, but I would imagine since it was held to such a high standard, I bet it was only used during certain times and for specific reasons.
Right. Right. Because if you look up that God questions, it was saying that it was kind of confusing to me because it said that Yahweh was used in, God's name Yahweh was used in his dealings with
his people,
with his people, and Adonai was used in his dealings with the Gentiles. But it's like, okay, he wouldn't be, would that be him saying, okay, I am Adonai if he's talking to the Gentiles, or I am Yahweh if he's talking to his people, the Israelites?
Well, is that how
that plays out?
Well, yeah. I think so. I mean, like going back to what I said earlier, if you're looking back at that ancient culture, depending on who he's talking to, the time, the place, the culture, all that kind of stuff, it's going to determine, I'm sure, what name he's using or what name they're using for him. So, I think you're right on that. Honestly, that's the way I see it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, buddy. Trucking on. Now we get into now that we've explained that, and there's, like we went through with the L's, now we're going to go through the Yahweh's, and then there's different names here, and this is these are the attributes, these are the names given, I don't want to misspeak and say given to God, but I guess, yeah, right? These are more of his attributes, is a better way to put it.
Each one of these names?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that, yeah.
Which one do you want to cover first?
Well, I'd just go down the list. I mean, Jireh.
Yahweh Jireh. Or, of course, you do hear a lot of people speaking it as Jehovah Jireh, which is, it does flow a little better. Same thing. There's nothing wrong with both Yahweh Jireh or Jehovah Jireh. And it's the Lord will provide.
Yep. Yeah, and in Genesis... In the momento, Genesis 22:14 says, "So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'"
Mm-hmm. Yes, so he is our provider. He provides our very breath. I can't speak tonight. He provides our very breath all the way down to the clothes on our backs. Everything you have, everything, that nice house you have, that nice car you have, that the money you have in your bank account, all provided by God. You can tell me till you're blue in the face that you made that money, that you bought that car with your money, but you wouldn't have any of that if it wasn't for God.
100%.
He's the ultimate provider.
Yep. Yeah, and that's something that's important. I feel like I do a good job of this. Is when I go to prayer and talking to God, I always try to make sure that I thank him for the things that I have, because like Aaron said, the things that you have, you wouldn't have if it weren't for God providing it for you and giving it to you. And it's on loan, you know?
Yep.
It's simply on loan. Yep. It's like leasing a car. It's not yours to keep. It all gets taken away at some point in time because you can't take it with you, whether you're going to heaven or hell. And I hope you're going to heaven.
Exactly.
But you can't take it with you. So it's on lease. It's just being loaned to you.
Yeah. Wasn't it, Jeremiah or was it Elijah that, I think it was Jeremiah, wasn't it? That naked in this world, I came naked, I'm going out. He had shaved off his hair and everything like that. And, maybe I'm getting a couple of scriptures, crossed here, but, he was pretty much saying, "Hey, Lord, take me out of here. I have nothing means any, you know, you provided all this and, I'm going to leave this world with nothing." So yeah, you know, start by thanking God for everything that you have, because he is Jehovah Jireh.
There's a song.
What song?
There's a song out there and it says something along those lines. It'll say like, it mentions the different names in the song. I can't remember. I don't know who sings it. But I'm not going to sing it. But it mentioned Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, and so on and so forth. But yeah, anyway.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I've been trying to get some of that music on this week's episode. But who knows if they answer me back? Then yeah. But anyway, I do encourage you. Yahweh will manifest Himself by Oasis Ministry. That's a good song, buddy. I've been trying to get that song on this podcast, but for this episode alone, but nobody's answered me back, but need to check it out on YouTube for sure. Cause whether they give me permission or not, I'm still going to plug it because it's that good of a song and it does go through the names of God.
I think I'll listen to it. I haven't listened to it yet.
I think I sent it to you in a link.
You probably did. And I just haven't listened to it.
Yeah.
So what about Jehovah Rapha?
Probably one of my more favorite names of God, because it is something that we all can relate to. It's something that we all rely on God for. Of course, at some point in your life, you are going to call upon God as Jehovah Rapha or Yahweh Rapha. And it means the Lord who heals. Mm-hmm. And this is, and we're not just talking about that physical sickness. We're talking, you know, that's mental sickness, that's spiritual sickness. And when I say spiritual sickness, that's not just that's, you know, that's practically you being lost. You know, if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're spiritually sick. But have no worries.
you're walking down the street and you're preaching the gospel, you're being an evangelist, and you walk up to somebody and you say, "Are you lost?" "Yeah." "You're sick."
"You're sick." "You're like spiritually what? Sick."
I'm not so sure you're going to win anybody over saying that, but good luck.
Well, I mean, hey, we've all been spiritually sick, right? We've all been, we were all lost, and we're found by the grace of God, and of course Jesus. But this is something, you know, this name of God it should be important to all of us, because we all get sick at some point in our lives, and we've all, and not all of it. He is the one that heals. And it, just think about it. Those of you that are sick, still physically sick, are you still relying on God to keep you mentally strong, right? He's not all the time is a situation going to be that he's going to heal your physical sickness, but he is going to keep you mentally strong, because God is a God of peace. His peace surpasses all understanding. So no matter what you're facing, God can heal it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If that makes any sense at all, what I just said.
No, it does. And I want to throw a verse out there in Exodus 15:26. It says, saying, "If you will diligently listen to the voices of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer."
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Don't forget it.
Okay, so the next name of God, yes, man, there are a bunch of them. And I was afraid that we weren't almost not going to make it through all of this, but I think we will. I think we will. We'll cover them quick. And of course, you know, that just leads for more discussions, more research by our listeners and however that works out. But Nisi, Yahweh Nisi, the Lord, our banner. What comes to mind when you think of that? Because we're not necessarily the culture that you and I grew up in. That would be something that we would just shrug off, right? The Lord, our banner. What do you think of when you hear that?
So, to make fun of me, all right, but before I read this, immediately the first thing that comes to my mind is a banner, is like a banner, something you'd hang up on the wall, right? Just like a picture, a banner, a poster, something like that, a banner. But that is not at all what is meant here by banner. Not even close. It's
right.
It's more so of a, you kind of got to think. Place.
It is. Yeah. You think about it, it was real popular back in the medieval times. They would all march behind the banner of whoever they were subjugated to, right? You'd be fighting under whatever king's banner you were under, right? Mm-hmm. So I looked up at what it was, and he's our rallying place. So in this world of, we live in a world of chaos, right? So like soldiers in a battle having to regroup to make an advance. So you would regroup around this banner to make an advance. And so us as believers, our regroup point, in quotations, our rallying point is God. Mm-hmm. So when life gets so chaotic that it seems like you just can't get a handle on things, turn to God. If you see a theme here, it's turn to God. I think we're kind of at the middle of the road in God's names here, and it all boils down to you just need to keep focused on God, right? Because of that piece, go ahead.
So God is our rallying place, and I'm going to reference a movie, and so I don't know if you guys have seen Braveheart. That's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Love Braveheart. It's an awesome movie. And it's just like when all those guys are down there on the battlefield and Mel Gibson's out there and he's yelling at the guys, "Hold, hold, out, and he's yelling out, and all of a sudden he's like, ah, and they charge, you know. That's what I picture is like, God is like the Mel Gibson right there. And he's just like, hold on. You know, he's our rallying place. He's the one that we turn to in the midst of whatever's going on, and he's going to be our victory in that. And I don't know. I just, that's the movie that I thought of when we were sitting there talking about this. Great movie.
Well, when I was reading this, Marshall, I was thinking of a battle scene. I was thinking of, think about viewing life as a battle, which it is. It's a spiritual battle, right? I was thinking, you think of life as a battle, and all the evil that's in the world, all the chaos that's in the world is overtaking you, and then you have to retreat, right? And God's standing right there. He's because of your free will, because he gives you free will, you kind of have made that advance, have taken those steps, whether it's in the right direction or the wrong direction, but he's always right there behind you to pull you back. And so you retreat, you regroup, you go to that rallying point, which is God, and he tells you the game plan. And then you can advance with, say, your new life and with purpose. I don't know if that's a good analogy, but that's kind of what was going on in my mind when I read this.
Hey, it works for me. Works for me. So in Exodus 17:5, I'm going to just talk about the scripture real quick. It's real short. It says Exodus 17:5. So I'm sorry, Exodus 17:15. It says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. So again, a rallying place. An altar is a place we're going to go and worship God. You're going to rally there. You're going to gather there and pay tribute to God.
Yeah. Yeah. So next one, we're moving on. I think we've got a lot. We'll cover them kind of quickly, because the next one we're kind of going into, I didn't really make a whole lot of notes on, because, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory in my opinion. Yahweh Mekadesh, the Lord who sanctifies or makes holy. Mm-hmm. Pretty self-explanatory. When you turn to God, you start living in a way that you start. Oh man, Marshall, help me out here. What's the?
Well, you died to your old self. As you died
exactly.
Your flesh.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And you start living. You start projecting Jesus through you. Through your actions, through your speech, through everything. That's what that means.
Yeah, as I've grown in my Christian faith and my walk in Christ, something I've learned to pray to God, asking God, is when people see me, may they not see me, but see you in me. I think that's the ultimate goal, right? Because you want to be a reflection of Christ. You want to be a mirror image of Christ. I think that's something to keep in mind, but. A couple of verses for this Yahweh Mekadesh. So in Mekadesh. It's just different. Leviticus 28.
It's different.
It says, keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. And then in Ezekiel 37:28, it says, then the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel, when my sanctuary is in their midst forevermore. And so, you know, God makes it clear that he alone, not the law, can cleanse his people and make them holy. Mic drop.
Mic drop.
not really, but you know.
Oh, shoot. Very good. So the next one on our list is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. Another pretty much self-explanatory one that we have covered. Because he is a God of peace. He's not a God of chaos, like we were saying earlier. He is, if things are chaotic, that's not God. God is order. And like I said, his peace surpasses all understanding.
Yeah. Judges 6:24 says, then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, the Lord is peace. To this day, it still stands at the Opera, maybe I'm saying that wrong, which belongs to the Israelites. I mean, the way I read it is Oprah, but maybe it's opera. I don't really know. Forgive me if I'm saying that incorrectly, pronouncing that wrong, but it could go either way. All right. Back off, people.
Right.
All right, moving right along. This is just, yeah, there's just so many. There's so many.
There is. Okay. All right. Sorry, I had to look something up here. I'm going to skip over the next one if any of you are following along on got questions or whatever. We, like I said, we chose this list because it wasn't completely exhaustive, but I think it covered what we wanted to talk about on these couple of episodes. So, Yahweh Elohim. Yeah. Yahweh Elohim. We've covered Elohim and Yahweh. So we're going to skip over it, but I want to get into Yahweh Tsidkenu.
Tsidkenu. That sounds very Japanese.
Tsidkenu. So the Lord our righteousness. What does that mean? Okay. Well, let's look up what the definition of righteousness is, right? And it is the quality of being morally right or justifiable. That's God. He is the God of being morally right, justifiable, and we, like we keep saying, should be living that out through our lives, through the work, mm-hmm. through his work in us.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have anything to add on that one.
Well, what I can add are a couple of verses. It's always nice to hear some verses that kind of tie in what we're talking about, that utilize these names. Jeremiah 33:16 mm-hmm. says, "In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." And in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." I'm sure a lot of y'all have heard that verse utilized quite a bit throughout your life.
Yeah. And then, of course, another name, Yahweh Rohi, is the Lord our shepherd. I think Rohi plays in with, which one was that? Our banner, Nisi. So Rohi and Nisi, pretty much the same. He's our banner. He's our rallying point, but he is also our shepherd. He's our leader, right? We were mm-hmm. saying normally you would rally behind a leader. Your bannermen are following, are subjected to the king, and our king is King Jesus.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's take a break for a second. Hold on just a second. Yeah, right. Okay. All right. We're back. I had to take a phone call. I'm getting orders from headquarters. The wife needs ingredients for tonight's dinner.
which sounds like
it's going to be pretty delicious.
What is it? Orders from your rallying place, from your Rohi, from your right. to get the ingredients. Come on.
So our Rohi, the Lord, our shepherd, Yahweh Rohi. What do you know? We were just where were we? I can't. I lost all track of train of thought.
Let me read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, which is Psalm 23:1. And it goes on to say, very popular verse. And this isn't part of that verse, but after David pondered his relationship as a shepherd to his sheep, he realized that was exactly the relationship God had with him. And so he declares, Yahweh Rohi is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. So there you go.
Okay. All right. I want to skip over. I'm going to skip over one and go to Sabaoth. Okay. Because I wanted to, Yahweh Sabaoth. Sabaoth. Anyway, meaning the Lord of hosts. Not only is he Lord of us, mankind, both man and woman, he is also the Lord over all the angelic hosts, all the angels.
He's Lord and over everybody. Pretty much, I mean, everybody and everything, Jews, Gentiles, inhabitants of the earth, poor, master, slave, rich. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. He is the Lord of your life.
Well, even if you think about it, Marshall, even the evil one and his minions can have to ask permission. So
they do.
He's literally most powerful.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, Satan comes to God And if you read through Job, if y'all have ever read through Job, which it's a really good book, I'd advise it. Satan comes to God and says, hey, you know, let me do these things. And God allows Satan to take all these things from him. Pretty much everything he's ever had and owned or was family, everything took from Job. And God allowed it, but God allowed it because God knew how Job was going to react and what God knew Job was going to be faithful to God and not lose his faith and not walk away and turn his back to God. So, but I say that because, you know, even Satan has to ask God, like Aaron was saying.
Right. And, you know, it's, I think this is yet again, another one of his names, not that all of his names speak to the wonderful power, but man, this sure does. This sure speaks to his magnificent power over everything. And so the one I skipped here, Yahweh Shammah, if I said that right, the Lord is there. And the reason I skipped it was because this one here, the Lord is there. The Lord is always there. God is always there. Like we've said earlier, he's there, he's everywhere. And it plays into the name that I thought of while we were doing this. I think I thought of it a few days ago. I was like, oh man, I can't believe I need to add this in somewhere in this week's episode was he is the Alpha and the Omega. It's not necessarily a name. It's more of like a title, but Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He was there at the beginning. He is there at the end. He is there for all eternity. Mm-hmm. He is everything and he will always be everything, which is why you can say, I am Alpha and Omega. I am is Alpha and Omega. And also he is there. He's there now.
Yeah, he was, he is, and he is to come. And you know, he is, yeah, God is everywhere. God is everything, which is the reason behind, you know, God having so many different names for so many different reasons and for so many different seasons. And, you know, and in this journey, in this walk that we are partaking in with Christ. So, you know, there are so many different names, and I know we're pressed for time tonight. I don't know if you want to go through these last few or if you just want to briefly just run down them real quick.
I think I was happy with what else you got. I think I was happy. We went through the L's already.
So, oh yeah, that's right. We did get through the L's. Oh yeah. So we're good. Never mind. I forgot about that. We went through the L's last episode.
Yeah, that's pretty much rounding it out. And man, there's so many other names that God has. But what we want to get a point across, and this is, I wanted to approach this week's episode with a little bit more energy than we have tonight. But there's so much information to try and get across that it was hard to maintain an energy level because it's like, oh my goodness, my brain's going everywhere here. The main thing is, I am. He is Yahweh. Yahweh is his ultimate name. And praise God for what he's doing here on this podcast. Praise God for what he's doing in our lives. And I know for a fact that we did not do his name's justice, but hopefully it encourages you guys listening to pursue him that much more.
Yeah. And remember, guys, that when you're going through life, when you are walking through this journey with God, just whatever you're going through in that moment in your life, pull out your Bible or your phone and look up that name for God that pertains to what you're going through in your life and just have a little chit chat with God and just thank him for his name and for who he is and for all that he does. And with that being said, we thank y'all for all that you guys do for us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for following along with us. And as always, we'd love you guys to go to all of our social media pages, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or X. We're on LinkedIn, all those great places. Like, follow, subscribe, YouTube, we're on there. You can go to Spotify, Apple iTunes, listen to us on there, subscribe to that stuff. And like I said, like we always say, guys, it's not about us. It's not about just getting likes and followers. I mean, that stuff is important because here's the bottom line. The more followers, the more likes, all that kind of stuff we get, the more this podcast gets out, which The main goal is meaning if our podcast is getting recognized and known by more people, then the word of God is getting spread. The gospel is being spread further and further and further and reaching those who possibly and hopefully, who possibly don't know God and will hopefully come to know him through this. So anyway, y'all are awesome.
Heck yeah. And hey, guys, don't forget to give us a good rating and review on Apple iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever that may be. And also Spotify as well. I think you can either rate, review, leave us a comment where you can. And of course, if you guys ever want to get in touch with us, there's social media. We can always answer on there. Or you can leave us an email. We got two emails, undauntedpursuit@gmail.com or mail@undauntedpursuit.com. As always, guys, hey, thanks for listening and sticking with us on this. So, sorry, I was reading something this morning. Marshall, I wanted to kind of end this podcast. I was reading something in my... I try and do a little reading just about every morning. Some mornings I skip, some mornings not. I've been reading through 1 Corinthians, and I wanted to kind of end this podcast with something. With guys, thanks for listening, and share this episode with somebody this week. We'll see you guys next week on the podcast. Maranatha. I learned that today. Maranatha, our Lord come. That's what we want. We want our Lord to come. Maranatha.
Maranatha.
See y'all next week. See you guys.
Adios.
If you first found me, why did you leave me? Where did I go? Was it so? again.